Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Oregon's statewide primary election is set for May 19th. The voter registration deadline is April 28th. Joining me today is Peter Larson. He's a candidate running for the Republican Party primary for Oregon's Congressional District 2. Andrea Carr was also scheduled to be with us today, but had an unexpected change in her schedule. We'll follow up with her as soon as possible. For those unfamiliar with this district, it is the largest congressional district in Oregon, covering two-thirds of the state. It includes the entirety of Jackson, Josephine, Klamath, and many other counties across our listening region of southern Oregon, extending into eastern and northern regions of the state. The incumbent is Republican Cliff Bentz, a rancher and attorney who has held the seat since 2021. We've invited Representative Bentz and look forward to his response. The JX hosted previous forums for this congressional seat with invitations extended to all candidates on both sides of the aisle. Joining me now is Republican candidate Peter Larson. Welcome to the exchange, Peter.
Hi, thank you for having me on today.
Really appreciate it. Let's begin with your background. Tell us about you.
Yeah, so I am a native Oregonian, born and raised. I attended Oregon State University, where I got my bachelor's. I have my master's of arts in teaching from Western Oregon. I was a high school social studies teacher for a number of years over in the small timber town of Sweet Home, Oregon. And I've been out in the LaGrande area for a while. I'm now working at Eastern Oregon University as an admissions counselor. I have a beautiful wife, two little boys, and just enjoying life out here in Eastern Oregon.
Well, what inspired you to run in this race?
Yeah, that's a great question. And first, I've never run in any race before, so this was a really big step for me. Like a lot of folks watching over the last year or so, this really started really last February, so almost 13 months ago, in watching all the Doge cuts that were happening back in Washington, D.C., and then, of course, trickling down to everybody out here locally. And like a lot of folks, I want more efficient government. I want maybe even less government that uses our taxpayer dollars efficiently. But watching stuff literally get, well, maybe not literally, but figuratively get cut with a chainsaw without a single plan of action was kind of the first draw. After that was followed by some of those disastrous town halls that Cliff Bentz held, where he accused people in the crowd of being agitators when really they were just fed up constituents of his in Baker City, LaGrande, and the Boardman area. And then finally, with the One Big Beautiful Bill, just seeing exactly what Cliff Bentz stood for and how much he lauded that and lauded it while really knowing the big impact that it will have out here in Congressional District 2. I could go on. You know, it just feels like there's more and more things every day. But those were the big impetuses for me to jump in the race.
Okay, so we start with DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency that's now defunct. And then the town halls, and seems like there's some conflict there. And then the One Big Beautiful Bill that Cliff Bentz supported, you are opposed to. Did I get that right?
Yes. And, you know, like a lot of things in life, it's not black and white. It's gray. There's some things in there. If we're talking about the One Big Beautiful Bill, that the overarching idea of cutting, you know, we have a lot of debt. We got too much debt. But then this bill is going to increase the debt by over $3 trillion, regardless of which think tank comes up with it. If it's conservative think tank, nonpartisan, everybody agrees it's going to increase the debt. And, of course, Bentz has said that, you know, we have to fight the debt, and then he votes for it. That's pretty hypocritical, in my opinion. We also see in there certain line items that will affect Eastern Oregon, whether it's health care cuts, whether it's Medicaid cuts. The $50 billion rural health care fund is a drop in the bucket as to what we're losing. And it's really going to greatly impact a lot of places in Eastern Oregon and Southern Oregon that are going to be losing rural health care systems and clinics. Yeah, and we could go into DOGE if you want, but even that we saw – you know, only 4% of our federal budget goes to federal employees. Only 4%. But that's the part we're going to attack in those DOGE cuts. That doesn't make any sense. And that would be if we were to eliminate every federal person. These federal jobs, a lot of them do support our rural areas. They are out here living with us, working with us, benefiting these areas. And Cliff Bentz just stood by idly. I kept searching for any opinion, and he was like, oh, I want more efficient government. Well, that's great, but this is impacting our local areas.
Okay, so you're out there listening to potential supporters, And apparently you believe you can represent this district best, presumably better than Cliff Bentz. So what would you say to Republican voters who could potentially elect you over Cliff Bentz? What would you say to them in the primary to persuade them to support you over this incumbent who's held the seat for, I don't know, since 2021?
Yeah, I really do kind of come back to the idea of, is your life better? Is our life better? And for many of them, many who have reached out, I got into this race thinking, oh, I'm going to be out kind of by myself, no big deal. I'll just be that one voice. But I've had lots and lots and lots of people come up to me, Republicans, and they're saying gas is way too expensive. Healthcare is way too expensive. You know, this idea of affordability is just is now completely out of reach for us. And at the same time, they're asking me, well, what is, you know, okay, you're running against Pence. What does it say on this? I have no idea. What does it say on this other topic? I have no idea, because he doesn't represent us. He doesn't come out here with us. I tell folks, I will be here. My first plan, my first item is I will have a town hall in every county within Congressional District 2, all 22 of them, even Deschutes where it's kind of cut off. We will find a small area and I will have a town hall. Cliff Bentz refuses to do that. He even said the other day in the Baker City Herald, he said, I'm not going to hold anymore because I don't think it does a good job when people come and shout at me. Well, that's the job. If people come and shout, it's because they have a reason. They want to be heard. And that's really the first thing I'm going to do is go and listen to everybody. I want to travel to every part of Congressional District 2 and listen to every single person.
Well, it's interesting because the results are that if Cliff Bentz is saying he doesn't want to have these town halls in the manner that you and Andrea are saying you would like to, he's still getting the votes. So is he right?
So, I mean, the last time he was elected was 2 years ago, and he held town halls. It's really just been in this last year where all of these big issues have come up that he refuses to. And I do believe that comes down more from a national Republican National Committee mandate. You know, they told their folks, they told their reps to stop holding these. And in Cliff Bentz, you know, defense, he did three and he got an earful. And, you know, he's even said, oh, I held a great one in John Day where he talked to mayors and city commissioner or county commissioners. And that's not a town hall. I have held more town halls than he has. And I've had people come and debate with me and not agree with me. And that's exactly what our democracy is about, is to have people come and talk and debate. he seems to be on the on the side of, well, just come and listen to me. I'll hear you and then we'll move on. But that's not what we're supposed to be doing. That's not what our representative in Congress is supposed to be doing. An in-person town hall gives direct accountability, better understanding of local concerns. It provides transparency. And there's a lot more feedback for policymaking. Maybe there's things going on he doesn't even know about because he's not out here with us.
My guest is Peter Larson. He's a candidate running in the Republican primary for Congressional Seat 2. Voting is May 19th. Now, Peter, you mentioned that perhaps there's been some edict from the national power structure that has influenced Cliff Bentz to either slow down or stop these town halls, and other Republicans have followed suit. So let's talk about what's happening on the national level. On April 13th, that's yesterday, or day before yesterday, President Trump posted an AI-generated image depicting himself as a messianic savior. And a couple of months ago, he posted a video depicting former President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama as apes. Do either of these posts by the president create any concerns for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you are an elected official and as high up as the president is, you have a responsibility to set a good, sounds cliche, but set a good example. You know, our elected officials should not be engaging in any sort of type of rage bait, posting AI images, celebrating themselves. That's sophomore behavior, right? That's behavior that when I taught high school that my high schoolers would do. And it just it really just shows how far some of our areas of society have fallen. And, you know, as a conservative Christian watching, seeing this image of anybody, president, anybody, whoever, depicting themselves as a messianic figure, Christ, is, well, as most people said, blasphemous and pretty outrageous. I know some people have defended and saying, oh, people just didn't understand his behavior or his humor or whatnot. That's not humorous. There's no humor in that. The same with the like you said, the AI videos of Obama and Michelle, Barack and Michelle being depicted as apes. That's, again, outrageous, outlandish. We shouldn't have that in any part of our society, let alone an elected official.
Well, to that point, two members of Congress resigned yesterday after facing the possibility of expulsion from Congress. Tony Gonzalez, a Republican from Texas, and Eric Swalwell, a Democrat from California. And both men have been accused of sexual misconduct. At the same time, the scandal surrounding the Jeffrey Epstein files sits as a backdrop to these newly revealed scandals. So what are your thoughts about character in the candidates and public trust in Congress?
Yeah, character counts. We really should be looking at people's character. You know, people of the United States, voters, we get so caught up in issues and the R and the D next to their name. And yes, of course, issues matter. Maybe the R and the D next to their name matters too. But I really do believe that character counts. And I want somebody who represents me that I can trust, that is transparent, that I can look up to. Now, that's not to say that they're going to be infallible. That's impossible. We're human. but when we should be looking at that character, and yeah, like you said, that goes back to those two that resigned just the other day. Doesn't mean they're guilty, right? That's for a court of law to figure out. But if you betray the public trust and your character is in question, then yes, that would be the course of action. Of course, the Epstein files, that's another large topic. I am absolutely all for opening up every single one of those and bringing every person to justice that is implicated in there and after a thorough investigation. Because like you said, character counts. And if I can't trust them there, why would I trust them with my public funds or my taxpayer dollars?
Yeah, speaking of funds, there have been federal cuts to Oregon programs in education and healthcare and food in a lot of different ways. What are your priorities?
So my priorities are, first, yes, we have $39 trillion in debt, and that is something that we have to reckon with. I think the bigger question, though, is even beyond that is what is the plan? You know, we have all these cuts that come down, like you just said, for Oregon, healthcare, for education, all these areas, and maybe cuts do need to happen, but they need to happen. They can't happen overnight. You know, we keep a lot of this stuff passes and, oh, it's 6 months from now and a month from now, like things are going to be cut. That's not a plan. Okay. We need to sit down and actually bipartisanship and have a plan put in place. Maybe it's a small reduction over the next 10 years, you know, and just work at it slowly and slowly, but making sure that people aren't just kicked off and left in the lurch. That's one of my other big issues with a lot of the national stuff that Vince has voted for, is that it's just, you know, snap of the fingers. Okay, well, $880 billion is gone. That's not a plan. That's just dumping people out for money's sake when we could have a plan. You know, we had a plan in the 90s, Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton, and they hammered out a flat budget, and we were working on that debt, right? But it was a plan. So until there's a plan put in place, I don't want it really to impact anybody negatively, and we know it will.
Okay, we have about 30 seconds left. Any closing thoughts?
So I know that some folks have said that I don't sound like a Republican. Well, I am. There's a lot of conservative issues I do believe in. But really, the big thing is I want to help the people of Congressional District 2. And that includes being out there. That includes fighting for affordability. That includes making sure that people can live their best life in this district. And that starts with listening to you. So spread the word and let people know.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on The Exchange.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mike. It was a great pleasure.
My guest was Peter Larson. He's a candidate in the Republican Party primary for Oregon's Congressional District 2. Voting is May 19th.